Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote with David Collins. We play video game music here, and for this show, we've got music from a game that's been addictive for many, many people, but also a bit of fun. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy. So a while ago when I was setting up the Facebook page for BitNote, I thought, hey, what's this Candy Crush Saga game I hear so many people talking about? And I got addicted. Yeah, it is addictive. But fortunately, I was able to break the habit. And I broke it after I found that the great fun experience I was having playing with Candy Crush became more soul-crushing and more soul-destroying each time I played, until with frustration I realized I was better off without it. And that is this story. Let's play Candy Crush. Yes, this is Candy Crush, Candy Crush Saga, and dear gosh. Apparently making a bazillion dollars for its company King, and also starting to, one of them, are you a true gamer if you play Candy Crush? Which of course is kind of a pointless question. But the whole point is, so what exactly is Candy Crush like? Well, you may have already played it already, and you may have even spent money on it. It's apparently 97% of people play it without spending money, but it's very, very clear when you play it that the game wants you to spend money. So that's actually kind of the mindset I went into this game. I said, I know that this is one of those casual games that keeps charging you money, so let's see how far I can play this game without spending any money whatsoever. And this became something of a meta game. I was playing a game to play the game in the best way possible. And so I had two games, one of trying to get as much value as I could without spending money, the other is trying to play the game itself, and it was actually kind of funny how they worked. If you're not familiar with these sort of games, they can be, well, evil. In a way. For a start, they do things that very few other games do, in which case they actually lock you out of being unable to play the game or new levels of the game until a certain amount of time has passed. They also give you gold bars where you can buy, and if you want to reduce this time, you usually have to spend money, or at least sometimes, if they're clever, if you just do really well, they'll let you buy earlier. So for instance, you start the game with 5 lives. Each time you fail a level, you basically lose a life, and you regenerate a life every 30 minutes. So if you go through all 5 lives, you've got to basically wait about 2.5 hours to start. Or if you're really thing, you'll wait 2 hours, and then the fifth one will regenerate while you're playing through the first 4 lives. There's all this sort of like metagaming and strategic thing. The level themselves is basically you get this bright colorful thing of candy, hurrah! And all these and all of them are bright and they're all colorful, and you move them around and stuff, and you try to match them into three. So, you know, you swap the position of two adjacent candies and try to match three, or maybe even match four or five if you've got a good thing. And you can sometimes, when they fall, it'll cause a chain reaction, and then more will match and more and more. So it's a very common thing. It's been used in games like Pop Caps Bejeweled. But the great thing is that this game actually takes it further. Instead of just having like a massive board where you just keep swapping diamonds and getting higher and higher scores, they decide to make each thing like a level in and of itself. So you do a level of this all this candy matching thing, and sometimes you'll have to like destroy match them in a certain position. Sometimes you've got these things you got to get to the bottom of the screen, or sometimes it's just a time limit, or sometimes you just have to hit a certain point. So the game actually constantly gives you a set of levels, and each level is its own little challenge with their candy and challenge and everything. And each time you succeed, you go to the next level, and if you fail, you lose a life, and then you basically, and then of course, so then you have to try to make sure you win it, because if you run out of all lives, you have to wait more time to regenerate, and so it goes. When you're playing the game, there's actually like a lot of fun things about it. As I said, there's the chain reaction, but one thing that Candy Crush did that games hadn't quite done as well, is they really do have a lot of these little smart little things that make the game more engaging. There's the music, which is, as you say, are sappy, and then there's the graphics, which are nice, and then there's the whole visual things, which makes all a lot of fun. And there's also the fact that they actually reward you for getting good combinations. If you manage to get a If you manage to swap candies and get a 5 in a row, you get this candy that destroys all the candies of a certain color you swap it with. And if you manage to get like 4, or you manage to get like 3 but at an angle, you can end up getting all these like bombs and special candies that destroy them in more creative ways. And then you can, if you create a bunch of special candies and then swap them with each other, you get even more weird effects. So the game is great that it rewards with these really cool like superpowered things if you just manage to just do play the game in the right way. And that's what I liked about it. I liked that you could sometimes be a bit random and pay off, but sometimes you could actually get a bit strategic with it. Try to, as certain challenges came your way, you'd have to figure out precisely the right sort of candy you wanted, and then just try to manage things and try to play it a bit more in advance. And that was fun. Until, of course, you ran out of lives and had to wait. You had to wait hours. Sometimes it would be very late at night. It's a few hours until I could play again. I would wait. I would not pay money. I would not try to pay them for it. And I would not try to bother all my friends and Facebook about it. Partially because I'd only just set up the account and didn't really have any friends. But even so, I do consider just bothering people on Facebook just so you can get better at a certain video game to be impolite at the very least, and also playing into the corporate cynical game that's trying to make it spread by you bugging other people and telling them about your game. But then again, this is hardly the first game to do it, i.e. Farmville, and pretty much many other social games as well. But the music, yes, the music, the soundtrack that would keep playing over and over again. Yes, there was that.
Thank you.
It would play over and over and over again, and sometimes it was beautiful, but sometimes it was like the pretty decoration of your prison cell, reminding you about how beautiful it is to distract you from the fact that they've managed to rope you into an impossible situation that you're desperately trying to struggle out of, but you seem to be compelled to do. It actually showed me that there's actually a lot of fun things about Match 3 games, but at the same time, it's like, dear gosh, you know, constantly saying, you know, you can actually get through to the next set of levels if you pay a certain amount of money. And then it says, this level is hard, but if you pay money, you can get all these extra special candies that will help you beat the level soon. And then it was the worst thing it came, when it seemed that the levels were purposely getting harder with the specific intention of meaning that this was targeted at people who were paying money, not at people who were actually, you know, just trying to play it for fun. And listen, I know it's a free game and all, but that's just cynical. I mean, I know you have to make your money some way, but if you're just trying to make... But I felt like they were just trying to make my experience worse just to try to get my money more, and that's just not a fun thing to do. Then again, I suppose I wasn't trying to make money from the outset, so I suppose they didn't care about me. You know, like, who cares if you're not going to pay about this thing? You know, who cares if you're not going to keep playing it? You know, we got your money. And it went like that with me still coming back to it, still thinking I could beat the system and get to the end and everything. And, you know, and you know, sometimes even waiting those 72 hours, you know, for the next set of levels to open up, you know, refusing to pay to advance faster. But sooner or later, I got to that level. I'd worked hard. Sometimes I'd produce like a few levels, everything. And to be fair, it's got a decent difficulty progression, mostly. You know, they'll have the harder levels than easier ones to get back your energy, and then they'll give you the harder ones again to produce challenge. But there were hard ones, and I met it. It was sometime around level 180. I remember it distinctly. There were two columns, and basically what I did in one column would affect the other column. And it was just really, really hard. Nearly all the levels up to then, I could try different strategies, I could try different techniques, and sometimes you could even get by just by pure luck or just by pure whatever. But this was the level where most of the strategies were useless. Even a gigantic bound of luck would probably not help you save the level and still leave you problems. And in the end, I just said, screw it. I can't do this anymore. I could just sit down, go through my entire 5 lives in that level, not feel like I was any closer to getting it completed, and that was it. The game did have Dreamtime levels, but, you know, like playing your previous levels, but just in a different way. And that did have some nice music. But unfortunately, those levels were also... they had this mechanic where you could just suddenly get a combination, get an entire chain reaction of a break that would boost your score. But due to the fact you had to carefully... It was designed about carefully saying which ones you bit, you could immediately lose the level. And that just lost me my momentum entirely. So, yeah. And that's how things went. The looping music, the rage quitting, the final dear gosh, and I knew I could never beat it. I had thought for a while, especially earlier on when the progress was good, I got through levels relatively fast, that I would be able to get through to the end, and sometimes it still have streaks, but they got harder. There were tricky ones that would just suddenly pop out of nowhere and suddenly take up all my lives. There were other ones that were just not, there were other ones that were just very tricky or introduced gameplay mechanics that I had to learn about before I could really use effectively, and that would take up a few more of my lives. Just these candies that like blow up everything, but you think if they blow up everything, that would actually help you clear the level, not just immediately lose it. And more than that, I discovered, of course, there were over 800 levels left, 800 levels in the game, and I still hadn't even hit 200 yet. And actually, I think it was actually worse. I've looked when I was doing this. Apparently, they've actually got over 1,000 levels, and they keep adding more. So it's a Sisyphean task, just pushing that boulder up and up again. And you're not meant to focus on the task. You're meant to focus on how much fun it is. But those constant, you know, stabs of the difficulty and the constant, like, losing all your thing and the constant having to wait. You couldn't just play it through. You couldn't just play through all the levels and get up until you've had enough. Oh, no. You see, they realize that sometimes when people play games too much, they burn out very quickly. So they just stop you from playing so that the craving is still there and you don't burn out enough. But I showed them. I found one level in the game that was actually a lot of fun to play, and it was very low chance of actually losing. So sometimes when I had that craving, I just play that level repeatedly. And, you know, it actually kind of worked. I think when I felt I got my fill more, rather than if I play it traditionally, only the new levels, which constantly keeps you in anticipation. But there we go. If I've been frantic about this game, it's because it's such a beautiful, sweet, delicious game that's wrapped up in some heck of a frustrating limits and frustration. It's like it tantalizes you with stuff and then harshly puts you down for it. It's like a game with so much beauty, so much taste, so much nice things, but suddenly as you reach for another, they slam the biscuit tin closed in your fingers and take it away, leaving you thinking about it and wanting more and ruining your time and staying up late until you get it. And that's why I'm glad I'm out of it. So I should probably talk about that music that I've been playing a bit more. As I said, it's got a nice thing to it, but it loops like a gigantic thing that loops. It's essentially 15 to 30 seconds long each track. It loops constantly. It loops constantly when you're playing the games. There's several different tracks. And it was actually composed by a guy called Johan Holmström. Now, Johan is a Swede, although he's been around the place. He's also been into molecular biology and also has journalism. But in the end, he just liked music. He ended up getting involved with Facebook and then King, the company that made Candy Crush Saga. And he's made the music for both this and a bunch of other King games. And also, apparently, this online web series involving kids' health that has an animation that... Yeah. The point is... He's made some nice music, and I do actually kind of like it. It is sweet. I think it definitely helps with the ambience, even given its repetition. But I think that even Johan knows this. And for the sequel to this game, Candy Crush Soda Saga, which they kept bugging you about while you were playing Candy Crush Saga, saying you should play this game, or you should share this game, or here are all these other sort of games that we made that you're playing. And I'm saying, what? Look, I'm focused on this game. Are you so insecure that you actually want your audience moving away from... currently successful games onto new ones? I mean, dear gosh, let me play this game. Don't try to force another game. It's like cannibalizing your own audience or whatever. But the point is, Candy Crush Soda Saga, they decide to up the music soundtrack by not just doing this nice kind of mildly synthetic, mildly, you know, upbeat like tunes, but actually go the whole thing and get us orchestra involved in making the music. And it was not any other orchestra, it was the London Symphony Orchestra, which has made things before. And they didn't record it in any place, they recorded in Abbey Road Studios. Yes, the Abbey Road Studios. And if you're a long-time follower of the show, or just know a lot about video game music, you know that this isn't the first video game music track to be recorded in Abbey Road. The Heavy Rain soundtrack, which was composed by Norman Corbell, was of course also recorded there. But yes, so I never played Candy Crush Soda Saga. I don't intend to. I don't intend to return to that world of playing and finding all these things wanted things out of you when they were trying to tempt you with this gameplay so that you would be in a vulnerable state to open up your wallet and just try to give them your money to try to get more of it. But no, I said no, I've gone through that already. I'm not going to repeat myself. I'm going to learn from my mistakes. I'm going to stick with games that, you know, let me play from beginning to end without having to pay money. And then maybe if I want something extra at the end just to, you know, has a dessert course or something, maybe I'll play some money then, maybe. But not if money is how I'm meant to play the game. Not if putting down my own money has a gameplay mechanic, has a basic move in the game, is how you play. No. Unless it's gambling where I have a chance to actually earn back my money. But even then, no. Okay, dealing with my little gaming addiction there. I think that even though I haven't played Candy Crush Soda Saga, I still can play music from that game because I want to. Because I figure if you get an orchestra in a room and a good composer who seems to like making good tunes, let it be heard. But remember, kids, this is not just something you play around with. This is real-life consequences to spending your money on games to get imaginary lives in order to get further on a level because the game doesn't actually want you to get further on your own ability. Oh no. The simple fact of the matter is that this is a game that wants your money, and instead of asking it for you up front, it finds a way to hook you first and then pull you in. Which is actually a really good marketing strategy, but still. Enough of this. Now the music plays. Music by Johan Holmstrom from the video game Candy Crush Saga by King. I think we can all appreciate that was actually a kind of a nice tune. And it didn't loop like a thing that loops a lot. So, that was Candy Crush Saga for you. Don't play it. It's evil. Kind of. Alright, We're coming up to the end of our show now, and I actually don't really have another track to play. I mean, I could try playing more Candy Crush tracks, but I think we've had enough of them. And even if we haven't, I have. So, I'm going to leave you now with The Moon from DuckTales. Yes, that classic Nintendo video game developed by Capcom. And with music by Hiroshige Tonomura, which was the music was programmed by Yoshihiro Sakaguchi. Because back then, actually, you know, creating the music and also actually implementing them into the game were two different tasks. DuckTales was a fun little game where you could control Scrooge McDuck based on the classic Disney TV series, and you could, despite the fact that you were you're an active guy who would jump up and down on his cane like a pogo stick, eliminating enemies and finding more things to do. You would try to retrieve your wealth, because apparently you are the 1% duck, and look, here's the music. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you very much for listening. We've got a Twitter account at BitNoteFM, and our music shows are always uploaded on bitnotefm.com. On top of that, if you search your local podcast service for BitNote, I'm pretty sure you'll find our tracks there somewhere. And if they aren't, just let me know and I'll make sure they're on top. Thank you very much for listening. I leave you with The Moon.